We talked about last week, we have a tendency to focus on kind of the mechanics of prayer, just sort of, well, have I said it right, do I got it, the words kind of in the right order, or am I eloquent enough, or am I too eloquent, or whatever the case might be. But we realize, as we get into the study of prayer in the Bible, it's not so much the words that we speak, it's the heart from which those words spring. That's what is more critical. And so we want to have our hearts in tune with the Lord and realize that we can't fool Him, that we want to be genuine before Him. That it's, and again, it's not that whole idea, well, I'm going to try to, prayer is how I get what I want. Really, that's just a byproduct of the whole time of prayer. Prayer is really to get what we need, and what we need is the Lord. We need that fellowship with Him. And so it's drawing close to Him and seeking to cultivate our relationship with Him and cultivate that right heart attitude as well as we seek His face. And so I want to look at just four additional thoughts in terms of heart attitudes. And so the first one we want to look at is that of faith. Of faith. Matthew chapter 21. And verse 22, the Lord Jesus says these words. He says, "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." That there is a sense that as we pray, then as we believe, that we shall receive. Hebrews 11 verse 6 is a fairly well-known thought, but it's that statement made where it says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And that's the whole idea of prayer, is that we diligently seek him and there is a reward. We learned about kind of the idea of persistence and importunity, that as we diligently seek the Lord, that there will be a reward. We think of the Syrophoenician woman who came to the Lord Jesus, and even though she was turned away, she was persistent. And he said, "Woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And so we want to have that same thought of believing and continuing to diligently seek the Lord in prayer. Then we see James chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. These statements, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." And it's the thought of all of us, we need wisdom, and God is more than willing to dispense it, and not just give us little snippets, but give it to us in abundance. And he's not going to scold us or say, "Well, what do you need this for? Is you going to get in trouble again? I need to bail you out." He's not like that. He wants to give it. But then it gives something very... A very important clarification with it too, though. It says, verse 6, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And so we don't want to be unstable. We want to ask in faith and not waver in that, either in our faith or in our asking. That we realize it. It's like if we're praying for something, but we have no belief that God is actually going to provide that for us, then why are we praying? Like it doesn't make sense. And so we want to think about that why are we praying? Are we just praying because it's something we should do? Are we praying seeking God's help? That we know we have a need. We know that He alone can provide it. We know that He is willing to provide it, and so we ask Him to help us. And so we think of it, that faith should first of all motivate us to prayer, because we know that He can, we know that He desires to answer prayer, and as well it gives us the motivation to persist in prayer, that we keep at it, that we don't give up, just like the woman, Syrophoenician woman, and others, that it discusses that idea of continuing in prayer. And it's a thought that while we are learning to pray, like there's all, we're trying to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Prayer is part of that growth. But part of it is also that idea of building ourselves in that most holy faith and having our faith developed. And so prayer is a practical way, day by day, in which God can help to both to develop our faith and to strengthen our faith. That we believe and we pray for something, and God gives us an answer. And then, but we look at, well, that's just something little, just sort of for something to happen that day to kind of work out. Then we pray for something a little bit more. And sometimes how that happens, where it kind of surprises us, but say we say we have a need, and say just seeing what the Lord will do, and then the Lord provides that need, and we didn't tell anybody else to do it. They just suddenly, the provision for our need was there. It was just kind of dropped in our lap, and we realized, well, God did that. And then as that happens, then we say, okay, well, he did that then. Well, let's see what he can do again. And it's not kind of like you're performing experiments to sort of see, well, how much can I get from God kind of thing. That's not the idea of it. But it's a thing. It's to build our faith. And that's what he wants us to do, is that we ask for the small things, and then we're able to ask for bigger things from that point on. And we think of the one fellow in Mark chapter 9, that his son was possessed of a devil, and he was having such trouble, and he just asked the Lord Jesus to help him if he could. And Jesus said to him in verse 23, he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And that's, I think, our prayer a lot of times, is that we do believe in the Lord. We want him to help us with our unbelief to overcome that. And it's kind of one of those things, as we learn to grow in the Lord, that it's kind of like the idea of courage. That doesn't mean that you're not scared. It means that you do what you need to do even though you're scared. And it's kind of the idea of with faith. It doesn't mean you don't have any doubt. It means that you step forward despite those doubts. And you pray to the Lord, you do what you feel he's led you to do. And it's kind of that idea that we want to learn and grow into, and have him help us with that unbelief part that we often have. Secondly, we want to recognize that as we pray, God wants us to pray with boldness. Boldness. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 and 15. The Lord says, this is his word, Hebrews 4. It says, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that's the idea, that we can have boldness because of what he has done, because of the fact that he knows our needs and he wants to help us. We see as well Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 22, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And that's the thing, because of what Christ has done, because of the relationship we now enjoy because of what he has done, and based on the idea that we know he knows what our needs are, he's touched by the feelings of infirmities, he desires to help us, we can have boldness. It's not something we need to be ashamed. It's not something, certainly, that we should be at all arrogant or presumptuous. We looked at that last week. But that we can come and we can ask these things and have a boldness, knowing because of the relationship we have, because of the love that he has to us, that he desires to hear and answer our prayers. And we recognize what is going to keep us from boldness, what's going to keep us from the Lord, what it's going to keep us from prayer, and that's sin. It forms a barrier between us and God, that when there's sin in our hearts and we really recognize that sin, we recognize God as who He is, we're going to be reluctant to step forward and to speak to Him, because we think, well, for me to come into His presence with that not dealt with, like, all I'm going to get is His condemnation. But the whole idea of it is God wants us as His children, that if there is sin in our lives, if our fellowship with the Lord isn't as it should be, that that's resolved as soon as possible, that we come to Him, we confess it, we forsake it, so that way there's nothing preventing us from enjoying His presence and His fellowship. And that's verse John 1:9. Let me just read it, sort of mine's gone blank. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That we can trust Him in that. And so it's a thing, is that's the only thing between us and God. And once we confess that, it's under the blood once more, and we don't have to concern ourselves with it anymore, and we can have that boldness once again. So we think of that faith and boldness, but then also we want to consider the idea of watchfulness. That Jesus, when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He was praying and sweating great drops of blood, it says that He went to check on His disciples, and they had all fallen asleep. And He said, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak." And Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, it gives these words. I can get there. It says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." And so there's to be a watchfulness in prayer. And 1 Peter 4 and verse 7, he makes this statement, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch in the prayer." That it's a thought that as we pray, sometimes we can have really kind of an obliviousness to what's around us. And all we're really kind of thinking about is, well, my situation right now, kind of my own comfort, my own kind of wish list that I want to just put to the Lord and have Him give me all that I want. That's the way of thinking is, we understand as a Christian, it is very much conformed to the world if it's that way, that we want to be alert, we want to be sober thinking, not thinking the way of this world, not conformed to this world, but recognizing the situation we're in, recognizing what's most important, and really having an awareness of what's going on around us. And specifically, we can think in terms of this spiritual battle that we are engaged in all around us, and the forces that are arrayed against us as well. That we think of different things that are happening, and sometimes we just sort of kind of just have our own little bubble that we think of, and we just want this to go this way, but we realize that there's different forces at work. Sometimes if someone doesn't treat us with kind of the respect or helps us as we desire, we can tend to be frustrated with them. But even kind of having that awareness, well, what's going on in that person's life? Why are they the way they are? Do they need the Lord? That we sometimes look at them as enemies, but we understand, well, we're to love our enemies. We're to pray for them that despitefully use us. And so having more of that awareness, it isn't just about me. There's a lot going on around me, and in prayer I can be a part of that battle. I can engage all those various forces in a way, you could say, through prayer. And so as we pray, that prayer is really an opportunity for us to draw close to God. And as we do so, we begin to understand the mind of God more clearly, and we perceive things more clearly. We see what's going on. We see more of the idea of what His will is. And It's the idea as we do that, it helps us to watch out, not only for ourselves, but for each other. That we realize things happen, and it happens for a reason. God is doing a work in the midst of us, and it may not quite be what we expect, but that's because His ways are higher than ours, and just seeing what He's doing and trying to be a part of it and not get in the way of it. And really as well, just seeing with those around us the things they're struggling with. We pray for them. We hold each other up in prayer each day you think of Jesus, how he told Peter, he said, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, they may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And it's kind of that idea that he's left us that example, that for other people that we think, well, boy, they're going through some difficult trials, but we want to pray for them so that they'll pass through those trials successfully. So I think of that faith and boldness and watchfulness. But finally, we want to consider another thought that was given in Colossians 4, verse 2. And that is the idea that we're to pray with thanksgiving. That we're to pray always and watch in the same with thanksgiving. In Philippians 4, verse 6, it gives that idea, be careful for nothing, but in everything with by prayer and supplication, and it says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's to be a part of our prayer, that it should be a natural part of our prayer and of our Christian life, really, because as we think in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That God desires for us to be a thankful people, where we realize all that He has done for us. We even realize how where we would be if God wasn't a part of our life, if He hadn't come into our lives, that our lives would not be the way they are now. And just there's so much for us to be thankful for. And prayer is a perfect time to express our gratitude to our Heavenly Father. That we can just thank Him and just every day that we shouldn't ever have any difficulty finding something to thank the Lord for. And as well as we pray, it's something that I think is a wise and profitable thing to do, is in some way or another to keep track of answers that God has given to prayer. As we do that, it helps build our faith, where we can kind of look back and we see, well, I had this real need and God answered it. I prayed for this, for this other person, and God supplied it. That helps to build our faith, and it moves us to give thanks all the more, because sometimes we can just get this mindset, and it's a wrong mindset, where we say, well, what has God done for me lately? But then we actually take stock, and we're like, wow, He's done so much stuff. And it just, well, thank you, Lord. And that's the thing, is that with all that He does, and we know that He's not as fickle as we are, but you kind of think of it, if you have somebody ask a favor of you and you do it for them, and they don't say thank you, you kind of let it slide the first few times, but if like they keep asking you for stuff and you do it and they never say thank you, they just kind of take you for granted, it makes you less inclined to want to say yes the next time, because they're just not grateful. And it's the kind of the thing that, again, the Lord is not fickle like us. He's long-suffering with us, but it's the same idea that we're supposed to be a thankful people. And so learning that and never losing sight of what God has done for us, I think, is very important. And with all of these things, it's from the heart. Because, of course, we can have different times where we pray, well, okay, well, I need to say thanks for things, and if I show I'm thankful, then God will give me what I want. But again, we have this whole formula over and over again in our minds of this, like, well, I want to get this, and so I have to do this kind of formula of how my prayer is going to be formed. But it's, again, it's the heart attitude. where God knows we're thankful, we're not grumbling, we're complaining or anything. We're showing the thankfulness for what he's done. All right, any thoughts or questions before we conclude this evening? No? All right, well, let's turn to what will be our last hymn.